going on right now in the Middle East, what's going on in Iran. And for the past 15 years or so, I have been watching for prophecies to be fulfilled. And I call it rolling off the parchment of the Word of God and pounding down on the pavement of actual news where it's fulfilled in the news, where it's fulfilled in the world. And I believe that God wants us to be watching for Christ to come back and to set up his kingdom and reign over the earth. And he wants us to know the signs of the times. He wants you to know where you are so your faith is strengthened and you are able to get ready for the Lord to come back. And so a while back, I prayed to God and I asked God to give me wisdom between now, where I live right now, and the last 7 years before the thousand-year reign of Christ. I asked God because I knew a lot about Daniel's 70th week and the beginning of sorrows and the great tribulation and the day of the Lord, which is part of that last 7 years. That is the last 7 years. But I didn't know about prophecies that would lead up to that. And so now I have been preaching on prophecies that lead up to that. And what's going on in Iran is really the parchment is moving off the parchment and pounding down onto the pavement. And it could happen any time that there's going to be war in Iran. And you say, well, are you for war? Not necessarily for war, I'm for peace, but in order to have peace, sometimes you have to defeat evil, amen? And so what's going on is part of God's plan to bring Jesus back and to fulfill the prophecies of the Word of God. And so I'm going to preach now part two of the message I preached on Wednesday night about the parchment to the pavement is now pounding down upon you in a place called Iran. And you could take your Bible, if you have it, and turn to Jeremiah 49. Jeremiah 49. And I want to say this pounding down upon you from the parchment in Iran points, number one, to what you can expect in the near future from the United States and Israel alliance against Iran. I think you may have heard that President Donald Trump has ordered a huge armada of ships, and they're basically surrounding the country of Iran. And I just heard that the big ship that has many, many jet fighters is the USS Abraham Lincoln. How many have heard of the Abraham Lincoln? Yeah. And I just heard on the news before we came in today that Putin of Russia has sent Iran, listen to this, Putin of Russia has sent Iran missiles to sink the United States aircraft carrier, the Abraham Lincoln. And because of that, our aircraft carrier has taken diversionary actions to remove into a place where it can be more defended. But this is going on as we speak. Now, a lot of people, when they see Russia involved, they think, my, oh my, this is the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39, where Russia is going to attack Israel. And that is going to be one of the big wars of the last days that we're looking for. But that's not happening right now. There has to be things to get ready for that. And right now, you can expect the United States and Israel to attack Elam, which is Iran. Elam is the ancient name given to the part of Iran that has their ballistic missiles and their nuclear warheads that they're trying to develop again after the United States bombed them before. And so what we need to know is that that prophecy in Jeremiah was partially fulfilled this past summer. How many of you remember that this past summer there was a war between Israel and Iran. How many remember that? And can one of the men yell out to me how many days that war lasted? Sarge? 12 days, right, 12 days that war lasted. And it didn't end the war, it was just a ceasefire. And when it began, I began to say, wow, watch out, this could be a fulfillment of this prophecy. But it was only a partial fulfillment. It is, this prophecy in Jeremiah 49 was not fulfilled by that war. Even we did something that I've been preaching about for a long time. We attacked the nuclear sites in Iran with B-52 bombers. And I have said for a long time, it looks like that's what Jeremiah 49 is talking about. So let's just review this real quick. Go back to Jeremiah 49 and look at verse 34. And it says there, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah. Elam is part of modern day Iran. And he says in verse 35, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. Now the bow of Elam represents today the launchers for these missiles. And by the way, Iran has many, many missiles, and they want to use them to launch against the bases the United States has in the Middle East, and they want to use them to launch against our aircraft carriers. But God says that he's going to break the bow of Elam. Now, during that 12-day war, Israel bombed their missile launchers and took a lot of them out. The United States took out the nuclear site, but they didn't totally take out all the missile launchers, and they've been rebuilding, and they're trying to rebuild their nuclear program. So this prophecy is not yet fulfilled as of this past summer, and ended the war on June 24th. Then it says, and upon Elam, he says in verse 35, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. Now, the bow is the missile launchers, but the chief of their might would be the nuclear arming of these missiles, because that makes them strongest, chief. And so that's what they want. And Donald Trump just had talks with Steve Witkoff, leading the way with Iran, this past Friday. And basically he said, you have to end your nuclear program. Well, the last I heard, Iran is not willing to do that. And that is because I believe God is getting ready to judge them, and he is getting ready to send the United States to attack them and Israel. And it says in verse 36, and upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, will I scatter them toward all those winds, and there shall be no nation where the outcast of Elam shall not come. Now, when it says winds and heaven, what's that talking about? An air invasion from the sky. So how this thing is going to be triggered out will be an air invasion, and it will be from the four winds. In other words, air invasion from north, east, south, and west. And right now, our aircraft carriers have surrounded Iran. Right now, we have jets in the sky that will be launched and will go from every direction. And when they hit this, when they hit Iran, what's going to happen? Well, that is very interesting, because it will not be a partial destruction like before. Watch what it says in verse 37. He says, I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before them that seek their life. Do you think Donald Trump seeks the life of the leaders of Iran? Yes, he does. And do you think that they're going to win? Iran is going to win in this war? He said, no, they're going to be dismayed before their enemies. What's dismayed mean? Afraid, shocked, awe, terror. I mean, it's not going to be pretty. This thing, when it hammers down, is going to be humongous. And I'm not for war, but I am for getting rid of this evil regime over Iran and the people of Iran that can free them up. And so, in that sense, I'm for it. And it says, before them that seek their life, I will bring evil upon them, even my, get this, my fierce anger, saith the Lord, and will send the sword after them, till I have consumed them. You say, what's going to happen to the evil regime, the Islamic regime over Iran? God says, I'm angry with them. I'm angry with all the people they've shot, around 30,000 or more, and killed them for their freedom of speech and because of Allah, false God. And God said, I'm angry, and also their hatred for Israel. I don't like that. They're threatening them. And he says, I am going to send the sword after them till I have consumed them. That means that after the air invasion, there's going to be boots on the ground, and that regime is going to be taken out. How close are we to that? Very close, I believe. And I've been preaching on this prophecy for 15 years. This summer, we saw partial fulfillment, but not the whole enchilada. But we're getting there. And when you see it, you can say, wow, God's word is true. Wow, we're one step closer to Jesus coming back and setting up his kingdom to rule over the earth. And then it says in verse 38, and I will set my throne in Elam, and will destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith the Lord. In other words, God's going to remove that regime and set up a rule that he is involved with. A rule that will not be pro-Islam, because it's his throne. So it's tends to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those that believe in him will be behind that provisional government that replaces that wicked Islamic hateful regime. And it shall come to pass in the latter days that Elam will be brought back. In other words, this is not going to last forever. The Lord is going to give a great victory, I believe, the United States and Israel. And Elam will be defeated, their government will be removed, the people that have been held captive will go to all places in the earth. They'll go northeast, southwest. There's no nation where the refugees from Iran won't go after Israel and the United States hits them. You say, why is that? I don't know. It could be some kind of real disaster, like a nuclear disaster, something that will make the people of Elam have to leave the country as this place is occupied. So I'm just saying that we're getting ready to see this prophecy in Jeremiah that's never been fulfilled before, be fulfilled in this time in which we're living. And so this points us to what you can expect from this U.S. and Israeli alliance against Iran. Now, secondly, it points to what you can expect in Gaza. How many are familiar with Gaza? All right, very good. A lot of you are. Gaza is just west of Israel proper. It's right on the Mediterranean. And Gaza was where the ancient Philistines lived, and they were the worst enemies of Israel. They're Hamitic people, but they lived in the Greek area for a while, and they were just hateful enemies of Israel. Well, in October 7, 2023, people came from Gaza. The Hamas came from Gaza, and the Palestinian people came from Gaza. Many of these are descendants of the brother of Jacob called Esau. They have an old hatred, and all they want to do is get rid of Jews from the promised land. And they attacked Jewish people on October 7, 2023, and they mutilated people's bodies. They raped women. They did murders. And 12,000 people of Israel were killed and devastated. And then they took captive Israelis and put them in Gaza. And that made Israel declare war, and they have been fighting against that until the recent ceasefire that Donald Trump had after Israel had really defeated them in a great measure. And Gaza has fought against Israel by hiding under hospitals, by hiding behind school kids who you know, they want to stop Israel from attacking them, or they know Israel will still have to attack them, but they want a lot of civilian casualties. How many have heard of the news where they're blaming Israel for civilian casualties? Actually, Israel has the best civilian casualty record of any army, including the United States, in history, in modern Israel. But they hide under these schools and hospitals, and Hamas causes civilian casualties. Also, I heard a Palestinian guy who had killed 10 Jews October 7th. He was calling his dad and mom, and he told his dad, "Dad, I killed 10 Jews. I killed 10 Jews." And the dad is saying, "Praise Allah, that's wonderful. You murdered 10 Jews. That's wonderful." And then the mom got on the phone, and the mom said, "Oh, son, we're so proud of you. You killed these Jews." That's Satan. That's malice. That's the old hatred of Esau. And so these people are bent on destroying the Jewish people. They sided with Hitler during World War II to destroy Jewish people. It's satanic. And so there is a prophecy in Zephaniah chapter 2, 4 through 7, that says that this war in Gaza, there's a ceasefire, but it's not completely fulfilled. It's not over yet. Look at Zephaniah 2, verses 4 through 7. Zephaniah 2, 4 through 7. I'll read it. It says, "For Gaza shall be forsaken." Kind of reminds you of where we are right now. Gaza has been largely devastated, but not completely. "For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ascalon a desolation." That's a city in Gaza. "They shall drive out Ashdod," another city in Gaza, "at noonday, and Ekron," another city in Gaza, "shall be rooted up." Then he says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the seacoast," that's where Gaza is, "the nation of the Cherethites," that's talking about the Palestinians and Hamas. "The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, and that there shall be no," get this, "no inhabitant." Have you seen, how many have seen news reports of the devastation over in Gaza, where just buildings are just, they've had to blow them up. They've had to just blow up so much of the country. Now, I don't believe it's finished yet. There's still more to come, unfortunately. It says, "Woe unto the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee." You say, does God take sides? Yes, God is against these people in the promised land. That's the land he gave to Israel. They ought to know that. "And the seacoast shall be," get this, "dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of" what? "Judah." Not the Palestinians, not Hamas, not Iran. "Judah, they shall feed thereupon. In the houses of Ascalon shall they lie down in the evening, for the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity." In other words, Gaza, right now, Trump has gotten peace over there, but he has other nations occupying that. No, Judah's going to occupy it. That's the southern part of Israel. And all of Gaza will be under Jewish control very soon. And I believe this war with Iran could spark this war that will bring another Israelite victory in that area of Gaza. And you can watch for that, and you can expect that, because God said it's going to happen. But it not only points you to Iran and the defeat of Iran and the removal of their leaders, it not only points you to the people of Gaza and how Israel's going to win and possess Gaza, and there's going to be total destruction in Gaza, and Israel's going to have to rebuild it later, but it points you to what you can expect by the inner ring of nations that surround Israel. They're Islamic nations, and there is going to be an inner ring. Now, when Israel attacked, I'm sorry, when Donald Trump threatened to attack Iran, does anybody remember what Ali Khamenei, the present leader of Iran, who's been the leader since the 1980s, and that regime has been in power since 1979 or thereabouts. Can anybody remember what he threatened or said would happen? He said there would be a larger war in the Middle East. And I don't know if it's going to directly spring out of this attack on Iran. I know Iran's going to be terribly defeated, terribly, according to Jeremiah 49. But there is going to be a larger war in the Middle East. And you say, why is that going to happen? Well, because there's an inner ring of Islamic nations. Iran is part of an outer ring. Inner ring of Islamic nations, listen, that want Israel out of the promised land. They've wanted them out of there ever since they've been in it. It's like a chicken bone stuck in their throat. They want Israel out. Now, recently, Donald Trump, through the Abraham Accords, has been making peace with many of these nations and promising them economic. Let me tell you, it's not going to be peace in the near term. It's going to be war. And war will bring peace. Because there's something bigger than money. They hate in their hearts Israel being there in the land. And I believe that when this war takes place, there's going to be at some point, it's going to jump over into these Sunni Arab nations. And it could even be proxies of Iran that are still there in Lebanon, that are still there in Gaza, that are still in Iraq and in Syria. But at any rate, I believe there is going to be a spreading of this war to the nations that directly surround Israel. And I would like you to turn to Psalm 83. I just want to talk to you about this war that you could be looking for that will happen in Israel. And realize, hey, when this war happens, it's not the end of the world. You say, Pastor, will a nuclear bomb be detonated? I believe it will be detonated by Israel. I believe Israel will be threatened, and they will have to feel like they detonate the Samson option, which is, you know, to pull down the temple upon themselves, if need be, to protect themselves. They're not going to destroy Israel, but there will be some devastation in northern Israel. And as you have your finger in Psalm 83, go to Isaiah 17, because part of this war that I'm talking about is described in Isaiah 17. And let me read that to you, verse 1. It says, the burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city and shall be a ruinous heap. How many have heard of Damascus, Syria? Is that taken away from being a city? No, it has never been taken away from being a city. And it's the oldest continually inhabited city in the history of the world, Damascus, Syria. 1/4 of the population of Syria lives there. When this larger war takes place that Khamenei has talked about, it will involve Syria, either proxies of Iran and Syria or other Syrian Arabs and Islamic people that are taking advantage of this war and want to get Israel. You just look for it, but Israel is no doubt going to set off a bomb. It could be a nuclear bomb that will not only take out Damascus, but I want you to notice verse 2 of 17. It says, the cities of Aroer are forsaken. That's northern Israel. They shall be for flocks which lie down, and none shall make them afraid. In other words, that's destroying the population of northern Israel. I believe Israel is going to destroy its own population by trying to defend themselves. It says, the fortress also shall cease from Ephraim and the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria, they shall be as the glory of the children of Israel, saith the Lord of hosts. And look what it says in verse 4. In that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob shall be made thin, and the fatness of his flesh shall wax lean. And it shall be as when the harvestman gathereth the corn and reapeth the ears with his arm, and it shall be as he that gathereth ears in the valley of Rephaim. In other words, Israel is going to be hurt by this. They're going to take out Damascus because they're threatened by them, and they're part of that surrounding nations that are going to try to start this larger regional conflict, and Israel's going to hurt themselves. In fact, it says in verse 6, yet gleaning grapes shall be left in it, what? Northern Israel, as the shaking of an olive tree, two or three berries in the top of the uppermost bough, four or five in the outmost fruitful branches thereof, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, yes, Iran is going to be terribly defeated, but there is going to be some devastation in a greater war with Israel. And Israel will come out on top, but they're going to be hurt by it. And it's going to be a difficult, difficult time for Israel. And look what it says in verse 9. And in that day shall his strong cities be as a forsaken bough, speaking of Israel, and an uppermost branch which they left because of the children of Israel, and there shall be desolation. See, who's going to cause this destruction? Who does it say in verse 9 will cause this destruction? It says because of what? One of the men raised their hand. Who is going to cause this destruction of not only Damascus, but of northern Israel? Who's going to cause it according to verse 9? Matt? The children of Israel. They're going to try to defend themselves. And that is what is being described here. So I don't know how it's going to play out exactly, but I do know that there's going to be a greater war when Damascus, Syria is blown up. And speaking of that war, involving Syria and Egypt and Jordan and the nations that surround Israel, Hamas and Hezbollah in Lebanon and so forth in Gaza. Notice what it says, listen, in Jeremiah 49. Turn to verses 1 and 2 of Jeremiah 49. I'll read it. You look at it. It says, concerning the Ammonites, that's central Jordan, thus saith the Lord, hath Israel no sons? Hath he no heir? Why then doth their king inherit Gad, and his people dwell in the cities? Now, what's that talking about? Listen to me. Ammon is part of Jordan. Jordan now lives as a country where the tribe of Gad of the children of Israel used to live. Jordan possesses that territory. And in verse 1, the prophet Jeremiah is saying, hey, doesn't Gad have heirs that should take over that property? Why are the Jordanians, the Ammonites, dwelling in their land? In other words, Jordan, listen to me, is going to be removed as a nation from their land in this next war after the Iranian war. They're going to be removed, I believe, after the Iranian war, if it follows that order. And they're going to be removed from being a nation. Then it says in verse 2, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will cause an alarm of war to be heard in Rabbah of the Ammonites, that's Jordan, and it shall be a desolate heap, and her daughters shall be burned with fire. Then shall Israel be heir unto them that were his heirs, saith the Lord. In other words, here's another nuclear bomb, listen, set off that will destroy Rabbath of the Ammonites. You say, what is Rabbath of the Ammonites? That is Amman, Jordan, the capital of Jordan. When Damascus is taken out, there's probably going to be a nuclear detonation by Israel in Amman, Jordan. Jordan will be defeated as a nation. But remember, Israel's going to be hurt by this. But they may really have to feel threatened to do this. See, Israel wouldn't do this if they weren't threatened. This greater war is going to be no cakewalk, but it will result in a victory for Israel, and it will take out Jordan. It will take out Syria. It will take out northern Egypt. And you can turn back to Psalm 83, and it will take out Gaza. It will take out Iraq and anybody in Iraq that is against Israel. It will take out these nations, even do harm to Saudi Arabia. And there's going to be a greater war. Psalm 83 talks about it. So let me just touch on that. Go to Psalm 83. It says in verse 1, "Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God." You know, when God says don't be quiet, I don't want to be quiet as a preacher. I've been preaching on this for 15 years. Why? Because it's in the Word of God, and God said, don't be quiet. Tell people, warn people about this war that's coming. You know, we did have war when Israel became a nation. Ezekiel 36 and 37 were fulfilled when God regathered Israel in unbelief back to the land for the first time since AD 70, and that set the time clock in motion for the end times, because Israel will not be removed from their land until Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom and rules with Israel as its capital. And so the Arabs that are Muslims that are just around Israel in Syria, in Egypt, in Jordan, in Lebanon, and Gaza, Saudi Arabia, and even in Iraq, they want Israel removed. And it says, keep not thou silence, O God. 4, verse 2, lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. Do these Arab nations hate Israel? Yes. Do they have a satanic hatred? Yes. And it went into verse 3. Look at verse 3 of Psalm 83. It says, they have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. See, every time they make peace, it's not for peace. It's so they can buy time to defeat Israel and get rid of Israel. That's why it's crafty counsel. They have said, what have they said? Look at verse 4. They've said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel be no more in remembrance. In Gaza and in these surrounding countries, they have geography and they have a map of Israel, and it's all Islamic. It is not Israeli. They do not want them to be a nation. They deny their history, and they are fighting against Israel. And it says in verse 5, they've consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee, speaking of Israel. The tabernacles of Edom, that's speaking of the refugees of the Palestinians that live in tents, tabernacles. How many have seen tents with people from Palestinian refugees living in tents? Pictures of them. Yeah, that's the tabernacles of Edom. And they do terror against the Israelites. And then the Ishmaelites. Well, what are the Ishmaelites? They're the Saudis, Saudi Arabia. Moab is Jordan. The Hagarenes are Egypt from Hagar. Gebel and Ammon is Lebanon and Jordan. Gebel is Lebanon. Ammon is northern Jordan. And Amalek, that is Gaza. That is Hamas. The Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Tyre would be Lebanon. And Hezbollah, the Philistines, would be Hamas and Gaza. Asher is joined with them. That is Syria. And helping Jordan, the children of Lot. And then God says to do to them as unto Midianites, as to Sisera. And what this is talking about is battles during the judges. Listen to this, where the ancient enemies of Israel would dominate Israel, and then Israel would attack them and win, and God would free them from bondage for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And that's what's being described here. In other words, this war is going to free Israel from these nations that have been bothering them. And he says, oh my God, verse 13, make them as a wheel and as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth the wood and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire. God is going to give a great victory to Israel. And why is that? Look at verse number 18, that men may know that thou whose name alone is Jehovah art the Most High over all the earth. God's name is Jehovah. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God promised that land to them from the Mediterranean Sea all the way to the Euphrates River. And the Islamic people deny that. And God is saying, I'm going to defeat Islam in Iran, Jeremiah 49. I'm going to defeat Islam, though it's going to cost Israel. It's going to be tremendous pain. I'm going to defeat Islam and the nations that are surrounding Israel, like Syria and like Egypt and like Jordan and Lebanon and Iraq and so forth. I'm going to defeat them. And what's going to happen? Listen to me. There's going to be peace through war. Israel's going to win that war, and they're going to expand their territory and take over a part of the Middle East that's big as the state of Texas. Right now, Israel is the size of the state of New Jersey, and they've won wars, 1948, 1950s, 1967, 1973, and other wars since there. They've won all those wars because God is for Israel being over there, and he wants them to be able to possess their land even though they haven't accepted their Messiah. Remember, Joseph took care of his brothers even before they recognized who he was. Remember, he gave them food and he gave Benjamin five times as much food. God is taking care of Israel right now. They're no longer in the gas chambers. He brought them back into the land. He's getting them ready for the last days. And so you need to be watching Israel. That's God's timepiece. That's the apple of God's eye. And right now the United States is blessing Israel. Thank God for that. Thank God for Donald Trump. And pray for that alliance. And I'm hoping and praying, listen to me, that when Israel expands its borders and prospers, that the God would prosper the United States as well under Donald Trump and his type of regime. And that we would live peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. That God would bring down this judgment upon the systems of evil that have allowed election fraud and the demon rats to take over and join with the globalists and a color revolution to try to take over our country. This is the time. This is the window that I believe could be coming down from the parchment onto the pavement of prophetic fulfillment. Psalm 83, another victory for Israel, though very, very costly. I want to end by saying that this points us, number four, and finally, to what to expect as far as a next prophecy. The Jeremiah 49 and Zephaniah chapter 2, 4 through 7, and Psalm 83. These are Isaiah 17, 1 through 14. These are now prophecies. But after Israel wins and expands its territory, becomes a superpower, after that happens, there's going to be great jealousy. And you know who one of the nations that's going to attack it, Israel because of jealousy? It'll be Iran. Now that's interesting because that may give us a timing of this next prophecy. Obviously, it's got to be some time where Israel's going to prosper and Iran is, the people have been scattered before they're restored and brought back. But you know what? Russia's going to be part of that invasion force. And right now, Putin is saying, hey, I'm going to defend Iran with my missiles, and they're going to shoot down the aircraft carrier. And he told Trump, don't do it because we will provide the missile. But I don't believe this is Ezekiel 38 and 39. Russia's too involved with Ukraine. They're not able to deal with us. This is not it. This is later. It's a next prophecy. It'll be, listen to me, it'll be Russia, it'll be Iran, it'll be Turkey, it'll be Turkmenistan and Tajikistan and all the stands that were part of the former Soviet Union and were Islamic, and then some North African nations. They're going to attack Israel. It's going to be such an attack that Israel will not be able to withstand it. So let me just finish up by touching on Ezekiel 38. And what's going to happen in this next prophecy, not the now prophecy, but the next prophecy after these other wars that I've told you, and before the 70th week of Daniel, the last 7 years. Ezekiel 38, look what it says, verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog." That's Russia, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, "and prophesy against him. And thus, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And I will turn thee back and put hooks in thy jaws and will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company." And then look at the other nations, Persia, Ethiopia, verse 5, Libya, that's in Africa, with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands. Now that's getting into Turkey, the house of Tugamara, that's Turkey of North Quarters, and all his bands and many people with thee. So he's talking about this group that many people think is happening right now, many Bible teachers, but they're wrong. This is going to be a next prophecy after these wars that we've just talked about, and it's going to happen later on. Now, I want to give a warning to the United States. We have a window, and I believe that God has raised up Donald Trump to judge systems of evil over the United States and over Iran and over other nations like Venezuela and Cuba. I believe he's raised them up. He's raised them up. But if we don't turn to God as a nation, if we haven't had a great awakening in 120 years, if there's not an awakening, here's a warning, possible warning to the United States. And I want to turn to Ezekiel 39 when this war takes place and Russia invades. Look at first of all, verse number 9. It says, "And they that dwell in the cities of Israel." Oh no, I don't want that one. Let's go back to verse number 6. "And I will send a fire on Magog," that's Russia, "and upon them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord." Now, where are the isles? The isles are the distant coastlands that are farthest away from Israel. And dwell carelessly means that they're safe and prosperous and blessed. Could that be the United States? Could that be Australia? Could that be distant coastlands that have enjoyed many blessings and safety for many years? And could this be a nuclear exchange involving some of these nations? And that fire could bring the United States down big time. And after Donald Trump and those that are along his lines, if the United States doesn't turn to God, we could become part of the 10 kingdoms of the beast. And that would be United States, Canada, Greenland, and all that. See, Donald Trump could take over Greenland. Donald Trump could take over Canada for the United States. And that'd be a good thing. And we could have a time of prosperity and peace. And I'm hoping for that. And we could use that. But if we don't turn to God during this next war, when Russia invades, and God will save Israel in that war, God will save them with fire from heaven, with earthquakes and all kind of natural disasters, and they'll fight one another, they'll be destroyed. But could it be the United States will be brought back to like it was during the days of the Roman Empire when Jesus came the first time? It could happen. And I would warn anybody If we don't turn to God during that time, then it would not be good to be in the United States as that builds up. And we need to be aware of what's happening. All this will lead into the last 7 years that is going to be the time when the beast kingdom is going to arise. And in the middle of the 7 years, the beast will rule the entire world. And so it's important we take advantage of what is going on right now and try to pray and ask God to judge the systems of evil that are over these people in Iran and other places, and that the gospel would go out. And we have an opportunity. And then secondly, that we would turn to God so we can extend our time of peace and prosperity before what's being talked about happens. I'm going to challenge you to pray and watch and look for that to happen and not get involved in all the sins of Sodom that we see all around us, because Sodom's going to burn eventually. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder